Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. He will have to suspend all the actions of the senses, even from the outside, and will have to be impervious to interactions of the senses, which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all sources of hindrances on the path. Purport. Dhritarashtra had attained, by the yogic process, the stage of negation of all sorts of material reactions. The effects of the material modes of nature draw the victim to the indefatigable desires of enjoying matter. But one can escape such false enjoyment by the yogic process. Every sense is always busy in searching for its food, and thus the conditioned soul is assaulted from all sides and has no chance to become steady in any pursuit. Maharaj Yudhishthir was advised by Narada not to disturb his uncle by attempting to bring him back home. He was now beyond the attraction of anything material. The material modes of nature, the gunas, have their different modes of activities, but above the material modes of nature is a spiritual mode, which is absolute. Nirguna means without reaction. The spiritual mode and its effect are identical. Therefore, the spiritual quality is distinguished from its material counterpart by the word nirguna. After complete suspension of the material modes of nature, one is admitted to the spiritual sphere. An action dictated by the spiritual modes is called devotional service, or bhakti. Bhakti is therefore nirguna, attained by direct contact with the Absolute. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, I will repeat the translation of the verse again. He will have to suspend all the actions of the senses, even from the outside, and will have to be impervious to interactions of the senses, which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all sources of hindrances on the path. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. Hare Krishna. Before I start, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Senior, peers, juniors, those which are online, please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavbhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. So we're coming to an end of the 13th chapter where Dhritarashtra quits home. And we can see that in this chapter there was a lot of kind of ups and downs. As I mentioned in the beginning, there was how Vidura received the mercy of a sage Maitreya, and what he done with the information he received. He didn't keep it for himself. As a kind of Parikaravacharya style, he was traveling, and the first thing he went to Hastinapur to see what's the situation in the royal palace. And there he found Dhritarashtra very kind of a strongly engrossed in his kind of a material activities in the palace. And what he done, as a great sage, he bestowed his mercy upon him. So today we're going to be discussing how we can actually develop certain attributes or certain aspects. And there's one very, very interesting terminology, very interesting term here. Aste stanu, which means immovable. So we're going to speak about how to become immovable, how to become basically a dhira, how to become a person who's immovable by the influences and rampage of the material modes. So Vidura, he was instructing Dhritarashtra in a variety of ways. Some of them are very cutting. He really pierced all the kind of material layers of false ego of Dhritarashtra. He went straight to the point. You've been receiving remnants like a dog of Bhima. Is this what you like? Is this what you wish for? And by these seemingly negative words, what he'd done, he triggered something in Dhritarashtra. And here we can see in this section how actually Narada Muni, he's predicting the future. He's saying he will have to suspend all the actions of the senses. So Narada Muni is a perfect transcendental spaceman, and he understood he's also considered to be Trikalagyan as a devotee of Krishna. And as a Trikalagyan, he understood past, present, and future. And in this way, because he understood the Ashtanga Yoga, as was discussed by Radha Govinda Prabhu, the Ashtanga Yoga has certain steps, certain elements to it. So here he actually establishing that there are certain actions, certain yama and niyama which he has to do. So we're going to dive more into this one. We understand in the Bhagavad Gita that there are different modes of material nature. Chapter 16, 18 is very much describing how 16, 17, 18, how modes of material nature are very much influencing our activities. And here he's saying that person has to become without duties. In the end stages of your life, Prabhupada is describing that in this material world, we have certain duties, certain things we have to perform. But in the last stages of your life, you have to be actually without duty. You have to understand that the supreme goal is to associate with Krishna without any ahankar. Because even these duties are based on certain material platforms, right? Kshatriyas do certain activities, Brahmanas do certain activities, Shudras, Vaishyas, Brahmacharis. So all the Varnashram system is based on duty. But in the last stages of your life, you become avadut. You become without duty. You become literally mad and you become a Vaishnava. You become fully situated on the platform of transcendence. Can we have the voice bit down, please? No, slowly, slowly down. Just they can't hear. Okay then. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hopefully they can hear now. So in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who's the main personality in the third canto who instructed very wonderful philosophy of Sankhya? Lord Kapila, Kapila Dev. Who he was instructing? Mother Devahuti, exactly. So in this specific section, in the section between chapter 24, 20, 25, 26, Lord Kapila Dev instructing based on Sankhya philosophy in a very instrumental way according to how to control the senses. We understand that Sankhya philosophy is introducing different portions of different elements in the material world. Can anyone tell me the number of the elements that the Sankhya philosophers are studying? Say that again. 48, that's one guess. Any other points? 26. As far as I know, 24 are the material elements, right? Subtle and gross, then the senses, working senses, but then you have also Kala, then there is also Purush, and there is also Atma. So 24, 25, 26, 27. Is that okay? So according to the Sankhya philosophy, the conclusion is that when you study all of these material elements, you come to understanding that obviously you're not the elements, you're not the body. Kala is just another aspect, and there is Purusha, the supreme enjoyer, and we as Atma. So Lord Kapila Dev explains in a very kind of a step-by-step way. I took three verses which are very important. 325-32, where Kapila Dev explains that different senses, they represent different demigods. So which is the highest of the senses? It's very internal. it is understood to be the sixth sense. The mind, exactly. So mind represents, Prabhupada speaks in this purport that mind represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the natural position of the mind is actually to render service. A natural service of the senses is to serve the mind. So the demigods are here to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moment the senses are not captured, or the moment the senses are not engaged in the right way, according to the Vedas, according to the conclusion of the Vedas, sarvasya chaham hridi sani vishto matta smritim jnanam apohanam cha vedascha sarvam aham eva vedya vedanta krit veda vit eva chaham. So the conclusion of the Vedas that everything, all the senses, and everyone should be subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, the demigods are serving the mind, or they're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the same way that the senses supposed to be captured and serve the mind. So Kapiladev instructing this very important kind of a message. Ultimately, one of the name of Krishna is, what's the name? Master of the senses. Harshikesha. So he's the master of all the senses. Therefore, if you offer your senses to Krishna, they're actually performing their right duty. Next in verse is 326-29 in the Bhagavatam. Again, Kapiladev is continuing and expanding how intelligence needs to utilize its discriminating power. That's what intelligence is for. First, we establish the senses. Anyone seeing this wonderful kind of analogy in the Bhagavad Gita is also, there's a picture of it. There's a chariot. There's this chariot, and the five horses represent the senses. Then there's these, how do you call that, reins? Reins. What does the reins represent? The mind, exactly. Then there is a person who kind of holds the reins, who holds the chariot, who holds the horses. Who's that? That's the intelligence. The chariot in itself represents the body. And the jiva is the passenger sitting within that chariot. Therefore, if the intelligence lose the ability to discriminate, everything is lost. We understand through the Bhagavad Gita there are certain kind of a graduations of information or how the instructions are coming down. Everything starts with the soul. Underneath the soul is the intelligence and so on. Therefore, the right way to kind of conquer the intelligence is to offer it to the Krishna. And the right type of consciousness, Prabhupada is writing, is Krishna consciousness. By the proper use of intelligence, one's consciousness is expanded. And the ultimate expansion of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Recently, I read a very wonderful story about Mother Yamuna. All of you, I think she had a birthday recently, appearance day. And one very interesting thing which struck me, she mentioned one very wonderful pastime about how the senses of a pure devotee are so sharp. And it's a very, very interesting thing. So Mother Yamuna, once she bought a very, very, very unique type of wheat, right? So she took the wheat and she grind them on a stone mortar by her own hands. Then she used cow dung as a fuel and she done wonderful chapatis. Then she came in front of Prabhupada, she offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, in a very wonderful way, he just take one bite, he took and he just closed his eyes, and she was describing that. In that moment, Prabhupada said, what kind of wheat it is, how she grinded it, how long she was grinding it, and what kind of a type of fuel she used. And same thing, he said, if you would leave those chapatis 2 seconds longer, they would be perfect. So what happens is, when your senses are so sharp, when they're offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you actually really know how to enjoy. Because your senses will not be grossed, they not be burdened by this material contamination, but they be spiritually uplifted. So when you're offering your senses to Hrishikesha, your senses become very, very much purified. And this purification becomes such a tangible thing that you can see things differently, you can hear different things. You know, in psychology, there's one thing you cannot learn, and that's actually like perceiving the moods of others. You have to have it. It's difficult to kind of learn this thing, right? You can learn so many, you can study so many books, but you have to be sensitive to understand the needs of others. And this is what happens in Krishna consciousness. When you're purifying yourself to such a level, to such a degree, that you see things which others cannot see. So when I was 18, I kind of turned a vegetarian. And in that period of like 1 year of kind of getting into vegetarian diet, I can swear to you that I saw a difference. I think those which haven't been born as a vegetarians and decided to become a vegetarian, they also see that aspect of purification, that change of the body, the change of the way you've been digesting, the change of your consciousness is very, very, you can sense it, you can feel it, and you can see it. Therefore, the same thing, this is why Krishna consciousness is a very scientific process, because you can see the subtle differences within you. You can see things you haven't seen before. You can hear things you haven't heard before. In the same situation. So same thing, if the activities of the senses are offered according to Lord Kapila, to the service of the Supreme, they become purified. In next verse, 3719, Prabhupada is saying that all the miseries coming from the senses are at once mitigated by the associating with Krishna and engaging in devotional activity. So in this verse, Kapila Devi is instructing that sometimes in the end of the day, you're very, very tired. Your body is, you know, you've done your all for Krishna. So all your miseries could be mitigated by taking rest. So same thing when you offer your senses to Krishna, what happens? Your senses become rejuvenated. You receive your original spiritual senses. So in this way, Narada Muni is actually explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj that the path that Dhritarashtra went on is the path of purification. Days before, we learn how Ashtanga Yoga is performed, how Yama Niyama is very important, and how this path actually can help one to understand his true identity, his Swarup. So the next point which I would like to discuss is, as I mentioned, is how to become immovably established. The term for is Tanur Ivacha Laha. Ivacha Laha. So I found some very wonderful series of verses in the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam. They're very famous. Most of you know these verses. And these verses actually are taking us on a journey of step by step coming to a platform of to be such a firm faith, to have such a in such a stage of nishta, of steadiness, that nothing can shake us, nothing can move us, nothing can actually hinder our devotional path. So there are three important verses. 1-16. In this verse, it's saying that the true way of starting your devotional activities is by serving the Bhagavats, by serving the devotees, serving the Vaishnavas. Shushrusho Shradhananasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sianmahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevanat. So it is very interesting. He said, Sianmahat Sevaya Vipra. So this devotional service should be directed to those which are Vipras. In this connection, Vipras in the Vedic term means Brahmanas, which are very scholarly, which understood the different karmakandic rituals, but in this connection, Srila Prabhupada translated as Vipra as a great Brahmanas, as a great devotees, as a great spiritualists. So how should we do this? By rendering service to these devotees. And these devotees, it is mentioned, they are Punya Tirtha. I've done a bit of research, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting that according to Amarakosh, Tirtha means water worship by sages, guru, path, and cause. So Tirtha means sages, path, and the cause, or clarified water, or purified water. So Punya Tirtha, Punya means piety, and Tirtha means, let's say, like a water reservoir. So whenever great devotee, great Vaishnavas, when they're traveling around the globe, they're naturally like a Tirthas, and the water of blessings kind of spilling all around them. We can see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, how many times said, Prabhupada said in himself, he was happy in Vrindavan, right? Who wouldn't be happy in a Radha Damodar temple doing your bhajan, reading, writing, chanting, paying obeisances to the Goswamis? But that's not enough. That's not the goal. Bhajan is important, but bhajan is supposed to have a result. Like, for instance, everything you do in the material world, there's always a result. There is something you want to achieve. Why you go to universities? Why you go to school? To get a degree, to get an education, to get knowledge. Why? Because you can apply that knowledge and then you can get money. So whatever you do in your life, there's always something you have in your mind. Is that true? Why you move to the temple? Why all of you, you know, staying and living near the proximity of the temple? The result is that you want to get purified, right? You want to become a devotee. You want to become a Krishna Bhakta. So all of our activities, they have goals. Same thing as Sambandha, Videya, Prayojana. Philosophy, application, and goal. So also we should understand all these three points. That by rendering service, Mahat Sevaya, to these great devotees, you actually become much more dearer to Krishna. Prabhupada was stressing the point that, yes, service to God is very wonderful, but serve those which serve the God, that's even greater. So in this verse is established the Sambandha of service. Sambandha, how to kind of elevate yourself. Why? Because these tirthas, these punya tirthas, these great Vaishnavas, they can bestow their blessings upon you. In next verse, in the verse 17, Srinivanta Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Stoyi Abdarani Vidyunoti Suhritsadam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, is in everyone's heart and benefactor of all the truthful devotees, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotees who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So there are a few interesting points. That devotee has to be truthful. What does that mean to be truthful? It means to understanding what is my position, where I am, what I'm up to, and what I want to do. So, in the ancient times, in the Vedic kind of a society, there was no shame in being, you know, Shudra. There was no shame in being a Vaishya. Well, there was no shame of being, I don't know, Kshatriya, or even no shame to be Dvija Bandhu. Why? Because there was truthfulness. Truthfulness means understanding what is your platform and working with that platform. So many times the Shudras, they've been serving the Brahmanas, and what happens by serving them, they receive their qualities. So this is the gradual kind of a step-by-step progress. But even in a platform of being a Brahman is not a safe place to be. Why? It is kind of a mode of goodness, net, but still we should kind of move out from that mode of goodness, because you cannot retain it for a very long time. So Shranvanta Swakata Krishna means that if you serve these Vaishnavas, if you serve these great devotees, they will bestow their benedictions and blessings upon you. And what happens, you will develop taste for hearing and taste for chanting. So we have to be real with ourselves and see that our position should be on the devotional platform. Next verse, which is 1 to 18, is Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. So in this verse, it is said, by regular attendance on the classes of Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to a pure devotee, one actually can develop this taste for hearing and chanting. And all those vices, all that negativity, all those anarthas which are very deeply rooted within us, they will get destroyed. So this is the understanding which Parikshit Maharaj had when he approached Shukadev Goswami. He said, what is the best process for me to kind of come out from this material world? And Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, he answered very clearly, the best way is to hear the narration and pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why this is important? Because by associating with the sages which have been present there in the... Which river was it? Was it Ganga? Or was it Ganga, right? The river next to Hastinapur, which Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj have been speaking Bhagavad. Was it Yamuna? Yamuna goes through Hastinapur, through New Delhi? Okay. So they've been there on the banks of Yamuna River and reciting and hearing from Shukadev Goswami the narrations of Bhagavatam. So this last point is that through association, through hearing, what happens is that service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as irrevocable fact. So in this process of service, from service comes taste for chanting and hearing, and from taste comes immovable stationary position in your devotional service. So these are the three aspects of kind of what we want to achieve. Through service, taste, and then the nishta, platform of nishta, is very firm within us, and you become immovable like a mountain. So in devotional service, this is what we want. Especially in my experience in terms of going on Sankirtan. Here in Bhaktivedanta Mana, I can tell you this is a bhakti bubble. We live in a big, big bhakti bubble, surrounded by all the devotional spiritual paraphernalias. Deities are here, Vaishnavas are here, books are here, constant service is here. Whatever you do, whatever object you move from one place to another is a service. Even when you take sleep, even that is a service. It is said in the holy Dham, when you take rest, that's a service. Why? Because you want to rejuvenate your body and your mind so you can do next day of service. But outside, out there, you know, it's not always very easy. And to be honest, now more than ever, I miss it. Because our duty is to kind of get nourished by devotional service, but then by inheriting the message of the six Goswamis, because we are Rupanugas, and more than that, we are Prabhupada Nugas, and the mood of Prabhupada is just give as much as you can. So in this mood, we should always give something to others. So that's how you become immovable. When you're in the tides of material nature, when everyone is just rushing, everyone wants to buy and sell, everyone wants to reject and accept, everyone wants to attain happiness and mitigate the distress, that's where your true sadhana will be seen. That's where your true spiritual potency, your shakti, your strength, your devotional strength will be seen. And that is a reality. When you put yourself in that situation, when you very much, when there are difficulties, there you will see how much your bhajan is worth. So once I get a question from His Grace Gujruma Bihari Prabhu, and the question was, how can you develop faith? And I think it's a very interesting question. Any takes on? Maybe we can open it quickly. Maybe one or two reflections from devotees. How to develop faith? Niskinchana Chaitanya Prabhu?
By associating.
By associating. Thank you very much, yes. Amit Krishna Prabhu? Amit Krishna Prabhu said, by hearing. I had a different answer. My answer was, both of them are right. My answer was that you can develop faith by willingly putting yourself in difficulties for Krishna. And I'll expand on that. There was one very wonderful pastime, and in the early days in New York, devotees, they've been short of money, short of Lakshmi. No money was coming, right? But devotees, they've been just pushing themselves so much so, that one day the money was, you know, flying from the sky. $100 bills were just raining. How is that possible? So Krishna is actually bound to reciprocate with you. If you put yourself in a situation where you're just crying for Krishna, when you have no other choice than just surrender to Krishna, right? And it's not easy, and it's very, very difficult. And to be honest, it is easy to get comfortable. It is easy to be in your path, in your kind of a, you know, slow, nice lane, when you kind of surrounded by nice things. But the moment you put yourself in a situation when you literally suffering for Krishna, when you're in miseries for Krishna, then Krishna is bound to reciprocate with you. And based on that reciprocation, the faith is developed, right? You can see through the pages of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he was constantly in troubles. Why? Because he was preaching the mission of Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So when you put yourself in a situation where when things are really tough, but of course we should use our intelligence and not to unnecessarily kind of destroy our bhakti lata. So don't push yourself that much that you burn yourself. That's not the goal. But when you kind of go out there and do what needs to be done, what happens? Krishna sees your endeavor and he showers blessings upon you. And these blessings, because you will see directly interaction with Krishna. You will see how Krishna is on a regular basis manifesting in your life. You will see the Krishna magic. So this was my answer, my take, that faith could be developed by putting yourself in a situation where Krishna is bound to reciprocate with you. So coming to the last point where Srila Prabhupada in his purport establishing a very interesting point, and that was the point of nirguna. Nirguna means without material qualities or without being infected by kind of the three modes of material nature. Nirguna, without quality. So how can we understand that Krishna has no material qualities, but yet he's the source of all the material qualities? In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 12, Krishna is saying, "Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I'm not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are with me." So this is very interesting. I'm not underneath the influence of modes of material nature, but these modes are in me. So how can you have something within you but not being influenced by it? Right? The moment we take something, you know, just like some vitamins, or some people have to take antidepressants, they have them within them and they influence them straight away. But Krishna's, all the gunas are within Krishna, but he's not influenced by these modes of material nature. So Narada Muni here is predicting the meditation or outcome of Dhritarashtra's kind of a mood. And he's saying that the goal, what Dhritarashtra wants to establish, the goal he wants to achieve is to be nirguna, to be devoid of material qualities. But then, in this purport, 7.12, Srila Prabhupada is actually saying that Krishna, actually is in a different word, a different verse. Nirguno pihi ajo vyakto bhagavan prakrite para swamaya gunam avishya buddhaya badha katam gata. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada is saying that Krishna came to this material world and he was performing his duty. So he was a Vaishya, he was a Kshatriya. But still, nevertheless, he maintained his position as a Nirguna. And the goal of Dhritarashtra, on the other hand, was he was a king and he wanted to get rid of his gunas. He wanted to get rid of his duties. So this is actually the difference between the spirit soul and Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna can still perform his duties without being affected. He can still be nirguna. But the goal of the soul is to become a nirguna, is to become without the modes of material nature. But we can see nevertheless in the lives of great spiritualists and great devotees that they can still be without kind of a material qualities and they'll still be acting on a spiritual transcendental platform. So it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called Nirgun, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. So for Krishna is merely a pastime. For us is the real deal. If you really try to kind of get rid of these modes of material nature. But Krishna, he just, you know, playing with them, because ultimately they're emanating from him. So I will kind of wrap up here. We still have a few minutes. Maybe if there are any comments, points, I will just kind of conclude. So in this verse, Narada Muni was speaking about Dhritarashtra, about his future meditation, about how kind of he's establishing himself in the meditation. He was, Prabhupada was mentioning that he was instructing Maharaj Yudhishthira not to kind of bother Dhritarashtra anymore. Why? Because, you know, he doesn't want to be bothered. Just like Prajana Prabhu mentioned the other day, that Mother Kalangana, she didn't want to be bothered. She wanted to focus on Krishna. Same thing with Dhritarashtra Maharaj, he didn't want to get bothered. Why? Because you have your goal. All your ahankar, all your duties, which are bothering us day after day, are gone. There's only Krishna. So that was this kind of a main thing inside of this verse, in my understanding, and how modes of material nature should be utilized. So we have different types of varnashrams, but ultimately we should go beyond the varnashram system. So different personalities, they're still inside of the varnashram system, but acting just to show the example. So our path is still path of sadhana, and when it becomes very, very clear, then we can kind of deepen our bhajan and kind of understanding more our natural spiritual form. So I'll finish here. If there are any points, any questions, any commentaries, yes, Roberto, Rossi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, very much. I was really like this point that you made, how to develop faith in Krishna is like to put yourself in a situation where you can voluntarily, like, how did you say it correctly?
You can struggle for Krishna's pleasure.
Struggle.
And he will reciprocate with you.
So, I have a question. Is it that you, when you're doing this, actually you can then easily cry for Krishna and depend on Krishna because you put yourself in a situation where you cannot do this? So I'm like looking at the situation that what if you are doing something that you're comfortable doing, but you're aware that whatever you're getting is from Krishna, and actually you're depending on Krishna anyways, even though you're doing this for 10 years. Actually, you're also crying for Krishna. So is it like this, that, you know, putting yourself into some kind of a situation, a new situation where you will totally be dependent on Krishna, is more for people that take granted what they're doing now?
I understand your point. Very good question. Yes, there are certain services which we can maintain. We can see by the very wonderful presentation of the way of life Shruti Dharma Prabhu was living. He was doing that service for many, many years, you know, cultivation, the congregation. And that in itself has different layers, and you can really, really penetrate when you do something for such a long time. Nevertheless, I think my humble opinion is that you should also do something which you're not very comfortable. So you have your main service, which you're very good at. But also there's that aspect of putting yourself in a situation which you're not very good. Anyway, if different Vaishnavas have any take on this, anyone want to share anything? Sam and then Mataji.
Okay. I was just thinking that, for example, this story of Shyamasundar. It was Shyamasundar, right, and the money was raining. But in his case, he already had really very firm faith in Prabhupada and Krishna. So I was thinking in your example that if we're putting ourselves in such a difficult situation, isn't it that we already have some faith that Krishna will reciprocate? Because if we have no faith and we're putting ourselves in a difficult situation, then Krishna is not going to help us out.
Let's say that could be a process of developing the faith. You may have the knowledge that Krishna is kind of there and will reciprocate. That's just knowledge, that's jnana. And vijnana means having that kind of a faith. So either you have jnana or vijnana, you can still put yourself in that situation. So for instance, when I'm on Sankirtan, let's be honest, you may know who Prabhupada, you know, you have some relationship with Prabhupada through his books, but, and I'll be honest with myself, Krishna is very far away. I mean, he is on the altar. I can't reach, it's just too far. But I have faith, small faith in Prabhupada, and by doing that, you can develop more faith towards Krishna. Anyway, this is just my kind of understanding. that when I go on the book distribution, I don't always have the full faith. But in the end of the day, I have slightly feeling that I've done something, and I feel how Krishna is reciprocating. So you can develop faith through the process. Obviously, all of the answers like association, service, you can develop the faith. But also putting yourself into situations where Krishna is bound to reciprocate. Thank you. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I really liked the point about becoming immovable, and just another comment on faith, that you've probably experienced this as well, that when you give Krishna to others and then you see them grow and flourish in their Krishna consciousness. So even if maybe for whatever reason you're not feeling the Krishna magic, let's say yourself, when you see others experiencing it, like for example, if you've given someone a book and then 3 years later they start reading it, or they start practicing, or they start chanting and maybe becoming vegetarian or these kind of things, then I think maybe that is a really, really good way to develop your faith also.
Yeah, very good. A very nice point. So also Vaishnava develops faith in observing others. One last story. I had exactly one friend. He came here to the manor. That was like maybe 3 years ago. And he was a drug addict. He had problems with drugs. And he was really in the stage when he was just searching for something, just being somehow happy. And, you know, he started reading the books. He started coming more and more, taking prasadam, start chanting. And you can see even his physical features changed. Have you ever perceived that? You see a person who's very kind of engrossed in the modes of material nature, and then he takes to the path and he becomes much more effulgent, kind of a lighter. He becomes, you know, bright. So, yeah, definitely. Faith also comes from seeing others following the process. Gujruma Bihari Prabhu. Thank you. Maybe Gajruma Bihari Prabhu, if you can share something, then you can, please.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I like Kishori's point. You know, when you see others advance and you help them in some way or other, that does give you a lot of faith. Because Krishna becomes very pleased, you know. There's none so dear to me as those priests who preach my glories. So I've got a couple of points. One is like, if we don't step outside of our comfort zone, then eventually our comfort zone starts shrinking also. Mm. Then you do even less of what you were doing. So I think it's really good to step outside of our comfort zone and maybe do some things that we're not so comfortable with, because that's, you know, it's a form of surrender, you know? And you're forced to rely on Krishna. I remember in Scotland, when me and Nasinga Vallabha, we started travelling in the motorhome, of course, I think after a few months, we thought, you know, we're reading all these stories about austerity and devotees surrendering and doing so, but we weren't on that level, but we thought we were showing a bit of bravado, you know. Mm. So we thought, what we'll do is, if we have any food in the motorhome, we'll leave it at the temple. So when we drive out, we've only got books. So So then we go to the first town from Scotland. You're probably heading to Lake District, you know, somewhere like Windermere. And you distribute books on the street. And then in the evening, you do door-to-door. And then you sell books. And then you ask people, so, you know, taking a book, and you say the holy name, Gauranga. But by the way, we're monks, so, you know, we don't use any of the money we get for the books for ourselves. Would you be able to help us with some milk or fruit or vegetables or this or that, you know? So that's, you know, and sometimes people, they wouldn't take a book and say, I don't know if you're a proper monk or what. And we'd say, well, can you help us with some food, because whatever we just live on what people donate to us. And actually we did. So people would say like, oh, wait a second, I'll go and have a look, and they say, oh, take this and take that. And then they say, look, you might as well take a donation anyway. Then I would say, well, okay, you might as well take a book anyway. Then.
Yeah.
So we did that for 3 years. Whatever we lived on, we just begged, you know. And actually, it was amazing. Krishna did so many things, like amazing things, you know. I won't go into detail here because it's the end of the class. But, I mean, we weren't on that level, but we joined a bit of bravado. We'll try, but Krishna looked after. We never went hungry. You know?
This is wonderful. Thank you so much. I think it's a very inspiring story. Mataji, you had one question. So this is what happens when you put yourself in that situation. Krishna is bound to reciprocate. Krishna is bound not to, you know, let you go hungry. Jai, very nice.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I wanted to tell comment. It's connecting with the faith. So from my life, I can tell only when somebody died in your life and you are like losing your faith, so you are like, you don't have faith, so you have to rebuild it. So with association with devotees and being in the really good environment when there is God and when you can reciprocate and you can develop again connection with Krishna, this is really helpful. Because if I will stay in material world, let's say, in normal life, it would be very, very difficult. So with Krishna and with other devotees, it was much, much easier. So this is like an example that it's really important to have the association and knowledge, like day by day, and starting to develop it once again. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Mataji. Yes, it's important to have association, because when devotees, they have certain qualities, and by being with them, what happens, those qualities start manifesting within you. Yeah. And devotee sees through different types of eyes. People which are outside, they see with the material eyes, but devotee, you have different chakshush, different vision. And that vision can kind of overcome all the difficulties and all the problems, because he sees the soul rather than just the body. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Premanande.